Good morning. Thanks for tuning into The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. It's good to have you listening to our program. As we get started this morning, I want to ask you a question. Why do you think Christians are typically very thankful people? True Christians, those who are really servants of Jesus Christ and have a close relationship with Him and God the Father and with other Christians, why do you think these people are very thankful and typically joyous people? Why do you think that's the case? We'll be talking about that this morning, talking about why Christians are thankful people. Before we get into the lesson, though, today, I want to invite you to be with us this morning at the Eastside Church of Christ. If you're able to get out and worship God this morning, we'd love to have you come and be with us at Eastside. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. So if you're anywhere in the Athens area, come and be with us at 9 o'clock this morning for our Bible study and our worship assembly. But if you can't get out to be with us, check us out online. Our services are live streamed. You can go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens. Look at it there, or you can check out our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Click on the media tab and the live streaming. But if you can, come out and be with us today, and let's get to know you and study God's Word together and be thankful to God today for all that He is doing for us. So why is it that Christians are typically thankful people? Let's go back to the 100th Psalm, Psalm 100, and notice this Psalm of Thanksgiving. It starts this way. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Here in this psalm, the psalmist expresses thanksgiving to God, and he gives all of us really reasons to be thankful to God if we have a relationship with Him. He says, be thankful because the Lord is good. Be thankful because His mercy is everlasting. Be thankful because His truth endures to all generations. These are wonderful reasons still today to be thankful to God. Christians understand these reasons and more, as we'll talk about in our lesson today. How can we develop a true heart of thanksgiving? Well, let's begin by recognizing just how great God is and how good He is to us. Let's understand that He is merciful to us. His mercy is everlasting. You know, mercy is not really giving people what they deserve. if we've got what we deserved, it probably wouldn't be good because we've done so much bad, we don't really deserve that which is good. You know, we've sinned, we violated the will of God. We deserve punishment, but God offers us deliverance and salvation. Truly, He is good, and His mercy is really everlasting, and His truth endures all generations. You know, there are a lot of people today who don't believe there's such a thing as truth. No, God's Word is still truth. It endures to all generations. And if we'll take Him at His word, His eternal word, we'll find the truth that so many are desperately looking for. So we're thankful for these things to start out with. The Christian then can be thankful in all things at all times for these reasons. And as we said, even more. So Christians are told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Christians are to be thankful. And as we said, if you know a real Christian, you'll find that person to be a very thankful person. In the English Standard Version of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The Contemporary English Version says, whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants you to do. So God wants us to be thankful. We are, after all, recipients of so many benefits that He gives us. We ought to be thankful, and we are. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, Paul describes Christians as giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells Christians in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So as Christians pray, we pray prayers asking God to help us with our needs, making these supplications to God, but always with thanksgiving, recognizing the good that he has done for us, recognizing how much he has blessed us. It has been said that there are three levels of thankfulness. The most basic level is that people thank God for good things that they enjoy when things are going well. It's pretty easy to be thankful when you're getting what you want and you're enjoying those blessings. But the second level of thanksgiving is to be thankful to God for things that we anticipate he will do for us in the future. So that requires a little bit of faith and hope. You haven't received the blessing yet, but you have faith that you'll have it. And you thank God in anticipation of receiving future blessings. But the third level and the greatest level of thankfulness might be that we thank God in the midst of difficulties, when we're under stress, when we're in pain, when we're experiencing afflictions or trials or persecutions, and yet we still thank God. This is the greatest level of thanksgiving of all, as we'll discuss in just a moment. Why can a Christian and how can a Christian be thankful at all of these times, not just in the good times, but also anticipating more good times in the future, so to speak, and anticipating more blessings in the future? But especially, how can a Christian be thankful when the times aren't good and things are hard? How can a Christian be thankful even in those times? Well, I think the Bible would say to us that God's children recognize that he has blessed us so richly with so many things. Even when life is difficult, we still have so many wonderful things that we've been blessed with. And so the psalmist, in reflecting upon this in Psalm 103 and verse 2, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You see, remember everything that God has done for you. What has God done for us as Christians? Well, he forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things, and your youth is renewed like eagles. So a lot of wonderful things that a child of God experiences are listed, really, in that psalm. Not only forgiveness and healing, redemption from destruction, but so many wonderful things, even down to the food that we eat. And so we don't forget those things. We remember. Don't forget God's benefits. This enables the Christian to be thankful all the time, if he can remember how God has blessed him and all the benefits that he's received. Someone has said that attention to God's benefits, the things that God blesses us with, causes them to stand out even more clearly, and that results in increased thanksgiving. When we focus on the benefits, worries tend to disappear, complaints vanish, and we have the courage to face the future. Truly, focusing on God's benefits, remembering God's benefits, will help us be thankful. Many people might say that America is going through some hard times right now. I think we've just come through some hard times for sure, starting with the COVID pandemic and then some economic problems, inflation rates going out the roof, you know, and high interest rates now, and political problems abound, obviously, and there's international problems with a war going on now over in the Middle East and a war going on in Ukraine as well. So lots of hard times in the big view of things in the world and in America right now. And yet, there are plenty of reasons for Christians to be thankful, and Christians are thankful, and they can live lives of thanksgiving and joy because they recognize God's blessings even in the hard times. We may think that gratitude is just a feeling that is based upon our circumstances, but that's not the case. What is true is that regardless of our circumstances, God is blessing us with so many good things that they are numberless. We couldn't count them all if we had to. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, James talks about the goodness of God. He says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." So every good and perfect gift comes from God. Christians recognize this. Some people, though, have difficulty being thankful simply because they don't recognize the good things that they have, and many people, I think that they deserve the good things that they have if they do recognize them. You have in Luke chapter 12, Jesus telling a parable about a rich farmer who was very presumptuous when it came to his prosperity. He assumed, I think, that he deserved his prosperity, and it was for his benefit alone. And he talked and thought and planned about how he was going to use his prosperity in the future. The text tells us that he was richly blessed, and he said to himself in Luke 12 and verse 19, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." So he had a lot of blessings, but he saw those blessings as just, you know, for himself. He had laid them up. He was the one who had collected them, and he was the one who deserved to enjoy them. But God said to him, Luke 12 and verse 20, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" And then Jesus says, "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Here's a person who has all kinds of things, all sorts of blessings being given to him, but he sees them all as things that he deserves, and they're for him and for no one else, things to be saved for his future, not to honor God with. And so God says to him, "You're a fool for not seeing the purpose of your blessings, not seeing that they came from me, that you haven't even recognized where your blessings have come from, in essence," God has said. So this rich fool, sometimes he's called, this rich man, looks at his possessions and doesn't see God. He looks at his blessings and doesn't see God. He only sees himself. He only sees what he thinks he alone has provided for himself. So gratitude at its grandest is far more than just a passing feeling of satisfaction over something you possess or for something God has blessed you with. It's much deeper than that. It recognizes not only the gift, but also the giver. We're about to go through a season of giving in America. We call the holiday season, and a lot of gifts will be given over the next couple of months. And if you're in a family relationship, somebody gives you a gift, if it's a nice gift, obviously you're going to appreciate the gift itself, but the real appreciation goes to the giver, doesn't it? For being thoughtful, for caring about you, for wanting to do something nice for you. The Thanksgiving isn't just for the thing. In fact, it's not primarily for the thing. It's for the person or toward the person who gave it. And so it is with God. We thank Him for the things, but mainly we thank Him for being Him and being the giver. And the person who can genuinely give thanks for everything and all things is the humble person, the person who knows that he really doesn't deserve anything. God is merciful, and therefore he gives thanks for even the smallest things because God has been so kind, even when we don't deserve it, even when we don't. And he's blessed us with not only physical things, but spiritual things, spiritual blessings. The wonderful chance to be forgiven of our sins, as the psalmist mentioned at the top of our lesson this morning in Psalm 100. But also, as we think about our lives as Christians, not only can we be forgiven through Christ, but we have the opportunity to spread the gospel message through which others can be forgiven. So we have a wonderful opportunity as we live to pass on the blessing of forgiveness to others, to accept the truth of the gospel, to believe it and obey it, experience salvation in Christ, and then to share that with others. Oh, what a wonderful experience that is. And truly, we can be thankful as Christians for the opportunity to share the message of the gospel, the saving message of Jesus Christ, with our fellow men. The Apostle Paul felt this way about it. Even though he went through a lot of difficulty to share the gospel with others, and it was not an easy thing in his life, he suffered very much. But he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. What Paul is saying there is that he was really giving his life to spread the gospel. And yet, it was all worth it to him. When you get down to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, then in verse 15, he says to the Corinthians, he says, "All things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." So Paul is going through all of these difficulties to spread the gospel and to share it with people like the Corinthians who had received it and obeyed the gospel and come to salvation as a result. And now he is thankful. They are thankful. The thanksgiving is abounding to the glory of God because of the wonderful truth of the gospel that has changed lives. The gospel can change your life as well. It can change you from a person who seems to have nothing to be thankful for to a person who is able to give thanks in everything. That's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are not a Christian this morning, I plead with you to learn the truth of the gospel, to learn the story of Jesus and what he has done for you, to understand that he came to die for your sins. He's offering you eternal salvation, eternal life. If you'll believe him, turn away from your sins, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, that you can have this greatest of all blessings, eternal life. Paul says, anything that I have to endure, in essence, he's saying, anything that I have to endure so that I can share that gospel message, so that others can be saved, will abound in thanksgiving. Causes thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Christians recognize that we are truly blessed to have the opportunity to share the saving message of the gospel with others. And Christians also recognize the blessings even in hard times themselves. We can be thankful that things are no worse than they are, even when we're going through the worst of times, because they can always get worse. You know, COVID-19 was a human catastrophe. Inflation and high interest rates are financial problems, to be sure. But when these things help us to reassess what's really important in life, even in those things, we can be thankful. Job said when his health was taken away, when his wealth was taken away, yes, he had health problems, horrible health problems, covered from top to bottom with boils and sores and just in utter misery physically. And then he had all of his wealth taken away from him. So you talk about somebody with health problems and financial problems. And yet Job said in Job 1 and verse 21, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job understood where his blessings came from. He understood still how good God is. And he was able to have a thankful attitude, to bless the Lord, even in the most miserable of circumstances. And so it is with a Christian today. I read a story some time ago about a preacher who was pretty well known for offering prayers from the pulpit before his sermons. He always found something to thank God for, even in bad times. One stormy Sunday morning, a member of the congregation thought to himself, with these storms and the bad weather, the preacher's not going to have anything to thank God for on a wretched morning like this. But the preacher got up and began his prayer, "We thank thee, O Lord, that it is not always like this." I really like that. Because no matter how bad it is, it's not that bad all the time. And as we've already said, it can almost always get worse. So there's always something to be thankful for. Let's be thankful, though, that God has delivered us from so many bad times and delivers us even and especially from our sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul again writing to his beloved brethren in Corinth, says to them in verse 8, "We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from such a great death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. So let's unpack this passage here for just a couple of minutes. Paul says he wants the Corinthians to be aware of something. He doesn't want them to be ignorant about the trouble that came upon him and his companions in Asia. So Corinth is across the Aegean Sea from Asia, but Paul had run into a lot of problems in the Roman province of Asia, particularly in the city of Ephesus. There had been rioting, and Paul's life was truly in danger. He said, "We're burdened beyond measure. We be above strength. We even despaired of life." In other words, he was about to give up on living, so to speak, that things were so bad. He said, "We had the sentence of death in ourselves." Wow. I don't know if any of you have been under a death sentence before, but that sounds really oppressive to me. How can a person be thankful under the sentence of death? And yet, he said, "God who raises the dead delivered us." We were delivered from that. He recognizes that the Corinthians had been praying for him and others had been as well. And so as a result of that deliverance, there was great thanksgiving that was given to God. They were helping with prayers, that thanks may be given, he said, by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us by many or through the many. What are we learning? We're learning that God has helped us through a lot of difficult circumstances in our lives. There are a lot of things, if we'll just look back, that we can be thankful for and that others can be thankful for us, so to speak. Maybe you've had a serious health scare in times past. God helped you through it. Maybe you've had some interpersonal situation or problem with a spouse or a child or a coworker, and God helped you through that. If we just stop and think, we'll look back. We can look back in our lives and see lots of times when God has helped us through, especially if we are true Christians and have God regularly in our lives and we are trusting in Him to help us through all of these hard times. There is much, much to be thankful for. And as a result of that, Christians can always be thankful. The Bible teaches us that death itself could not prevent the kingdom from being established, and it cannot stop it now. The kingdom, which Jesus established on this earth, is going to continue and thrive and bring people to salvation. And no matter how hard Satan rails against it and tries to defeat it, it will prevail. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Hades is the realm of the dead, and Hades itself did not and cannot prevail against the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of His glory, the kingdom of salvation. And so no matter what we're facing, all the way up to and including death itself, we can be thankful. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is a really interesting text to me. It's at near the very end of Paul's life. It's the last letter that we have that he wrote in scriptures. So he's old, he's in prison, he's on trial for his life. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged to them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul, he was delivered from the mouth of the lion, so, you know, he already had one court appearance, so to speak, and he wasn't thrown to the lions as it might have happened, and he is thankful for that. But he understands that, you know, death is imminent. In fact, he's just talked about that to Timothy. He says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Says just a few verses earlier than this. So he understands that his life is coming to an end, but he also knows that deliverance from God is his no matter what happens. Because he says, the Lord delivered me out of the mouth of the lion, but listen to what he said there. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. Whatever happens in this life, if you're a Christian, you have life to come. You have something to look forward to. You will be preserved for the heavenly kingdom, for the heavenly kingdom. Paul understood that. And so Christians, why can Christians be thankful? Why are they thankful no matter what? Because there is always that. There is always the heavenly kingdom to look forward to. We expect, and tradition tells us, that Paul's life did not end pleasantly, that he was more than likely, almost certainly, brutally murdered by the Roman Empire of his day. And yet, I don't think that ended his thanksgiving. He looked forward to being with Christ in the heavenly kingdom. Let us learn that same kind of faith. Let us come to be true Christians who trust God all the way. At some point, Paul, like the faithful heroes that are mentioned in Hebrews 11, would not accept his physical deliverance that he might obtain a better resurrection. And that better resurrection is there for every Christian. Let us as Christians then, if you are a Christian today, let us be thankful because there's a lot to be thankful for. Let us remember God's benefits. Let us look past the problems and the pain of the moment and recognize the great spiritual blessings that we enjoy and a hope for the future that every true Christian has. Let's be thankful, and let's always be thankful. There's a character in the Old Testament, pretty well-known character by the name of Daniel, who, as a young man, was taken into Babylonian captivity. When he was old, he was thrown into a lion's den. The reason he was thrown into a lion's den was because he prayed to somebody other than the king. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, before he was thrown into the den of lions, Daniel knew that this edict was signed that anybody that prayed to somebody besides the king would be so treated. Daniel knew that that writing was signed, and the text says he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks to God, as was his custom since early days. Well, Daniel was always giving thanks. He was always giving thanks. And even in the face of being thrown in the lion's den, he was giving thanks, just like the Apostle Paul was in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Isn't that amazing? Friends, this is the kind of life that you can live if you will but decide to be a Christian. We must understand we deserve humiliation, but in Christ we receive glory. We deserve to be hated, but instead we are loved. We deserve dishonor, but instead we receive honor. We deserve scorn, but we're given praise. We deserve poverty, but we're given riches. We deserve sin's curse of death, but we are given eternal life. What a wonderful God we have if we are Christians. And so if we are Christians, we truly can always be thankful. I'd encourage all who are listening this morning then, if you're not a Christian, get in contact with us. Study to become a Christian. Learn it. Live it. Walk the way that leads to life.